Yo, what up, guys? It's Mike Eshak. I'm here. We're about to get this thing started, but before we do, I'm going to show you guys a little first episode of the Ed and Mo Show before we go on with my guest today. And let's get that started. So it's about an eight-minute episode. It's one of the first things we've ever created together, and we had a lot of fun doing this thing, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Some of you might have already seen this, and some of you might have not. So we'll see what's up, and we'll see you guys in 8 minutes.
Eshak! Ow!
Hello? Is this thing on? Somebody's here?
Yeah, we're ready whenever you are.
Okay. I'm ready. Hi. My name is Mo. This is a planet Earth. I live in Dearborn, Michigan.
Dearborn, Michigan?
Dearborn, Michigan.
Dear. It is the Arab capital of the United States. You don't really have to go to Iraq to be witness to radical behavior. All you have to do in this country is head over to Dearborn, Michigan.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Dearborn, Michigan.
As goes Baghdad, so could Dearborn.
Are you f***ing serious? Dearborn is not like that. Dearborn is more like this. Boring, boring, boring. This is where I live. This is my grandma's garage. That's me, Mo Mackey. All my life, I dreamed to be a successful businessman. Instead, I was an engineer. Then the economy got really bad and I lost my job, but that's fine. Because I don't like that job anyways.
Mo was a successful engineer. He had good money, nice cars, had a nice house. And one day, he threw it out like it was garbage day. And it really pisses me off because he had good things going for him, you know?
He had a good paying job, he had nice clothes.
Then he went into business and...
Ed, come on, we have to go.
This guy wakes me up at 9 in the morning, bro. I gotta get dressed. I gotta make myself look presentable for what? I don't even know.
You know, I've known Ed all my life, and to me, Ed was just, he's a white boy, a regular white boy, you know? It wasn't until one time some guy came up to me and goes, "Hey, man, why is your white buddy acting like an Arab?" And that's when it dawned on me. Ed's a Wayrab.
Isn't that sauce that you put the raw tuna on or in, like at a sushi place? Isn't Wayrab sauce?
It's the word white and the word Arab, Wayrab. It's like wigger, you know? You know what the word wigger means? It's the word white.
Mo running a business, that's a bad idea. Ed and Mo running a business? That's just a disaster.
What is this business?
Say you're at home watching a movie. It's a great movie. You're enjoying yourself, right? You don't want to leave, but you've run out of refreshments, right? You don't want to leave your house. You don't want to stop watching this movie. All you got to do, pick up your phone and call us. And what do?
We get it.
Get it?
We get it.
Get it?
We get it.
We get it. For you.
They're starting a business where people will call them and they'll bring whatever people ask for to their house or wherever they are. And it's called We Get It.
The f*** is that?
Do you realize how pathetic they are? All their time is spent on video games.
Where do I start? How is he going to run a business? Just look at him.
You understand that this guy lives in a garage? Every time he wants to brush his teeth, he's got to go to his grandma's house. He uses her shampoo, her soap. How disgusting. He uses her soap bar, man. His grandma's soap bar.
Ed, today is a very important day. We're shooting the first commercial for our business.
Oh, man. Ed, come on, get up, bro. Get up, man. Get up. I have to go start, look. It's too late. Come on, man. Meet me in the car. I sold all my stuff. I moved into my grandma's garage to start a business with my best friend, Ed. And today we have to hurry up and be awake so we can do the commercial. Come on, Ed, ain't got all day, man. Come on. Get in the car.
Well, I don't know what this guy's problem is, bro.
Bro, your belly's coming out of your shirt.
He walks out of the house wearing a shirt that doesn't even cover his belly.
That's not my problem, okay? Get in the damn car.
You go change your shirt.
Get in the car. I'm in a hurry to make money. Get in the car now.
Go change your shirt.
Get in the car. Ed?
Go change your shirt or I'm driving.
Drive! This guy, Ed, have a problem with the appearance. He loves to show people that he look good all the time.
At least I don't look like I went and stole some baby's polo shirt. How ugly this guy. Where are we going?
Going to get freeze pops.
Freeze pops?
Yeah, freeze pops.
You woke me up to get freeze pops, bro. He wants to go to the store to get freeze pops. Seriously?
I want
to
put the freeze bob in the commercial to get the kids because the parents spend the money on kids.
Who's going
to
call us for freeze pops? Do you think there's a bunch of rich babies out there who want work done for them?
Wallah, is this week, get it? Go get us some freeze pops right away. I'll give you $500.
Yeah, Wallah, that's cute, but it's not gonna happen.
Swear to God, sometimes I feel like you're not even serious about the business.
Bro, I'm serious about it. That's why I look serious. I don't wear a belly shirt.
Because I'm serious.
You wear a belly shirt to look serious?
Yeah, but if you wake up on the time, I can go take my time and go put short that fit.
That's why nobody's gonna take us seriously, because you're a clown. You wear clown clothes, you have a clown face, you're a clown.
Ed.
You're off, bro.
Cut the sh**. We have to go do the commercial soon. Take me, go get freeze bobs.
So we're walking up to the store, and this guy's got his stupid belly shirt on with his belly hanging out. Wallah, Jarasna.
Well, you're so ugly. I can't believe I'm walking.
Shut the heck up, man.
And I see this truck. I don't know where I know it from, but I get a bad feeling, you know?
We're gonna walk in the store to get the freeze bob, and then we see the nightmare.
Oh, fuck. I feel like I'm having a nightmare right there. You know whose truck that was? It was Tarek Salamasi, bro. He's a famous boxer from Dearborn. He was on the reality show, The Contender.
Tarek Salamasi!
Yeah, man, I'm f***ing sick of this guy.
I met this girl, Zainab, in the famous hamburger parking lot. I get in her car, we're making out for a little while.
It's my cousin, Zainab. I said, what?
It's Tarek Salamasi's cousin.
She's engaged, too, to my cousin, Ali. And they're cousins too.
The guy wants to kill me now.
I swear to God, I got one thing to say. I'm beating the f*** out of him.
Round one, fight!
Come here!
So all I do is I just start running. I just run down the alley, just keep running, you know, like Forrest Gump, never stop, just keep running.
F***ing die, f***ing die.
So I go inside to get the freeze bobs. He's running. If he want to date the Arabic girls and kiss the girls, that's fine with me. Me, I'm all about the business.
The freeze bobs. This here gonna make me super, super rich. And Ed, he's always laughing, but we're gonna make big money. I'm all about the business.
I come outside the store.
Stupid Ed.
I get in the car. I drive, and I pick him up.
Bro, when I saw Mo's car, I was so relieved, bro.
Get in, man. Just go. One block away, bro.
Then I look down and I see there's freeze pops.
I always gotta save you.
You got freeze pops while I'm about to die?
I have my freeze pop with me.
Well, what an ass. What kind of friend goes and gets freeze pops while his friend's getting chased down by Tarek Salamasi?
I'm all about the business.
The guy was trying to kill me, bro, and you're buying freeze pops?
Bro, just go home. I gotta piss. I almost pissed myself running.
This guy, Ed, he thinks that putting the freeze pop in the commercial is a bad idea. But when the people they see the commercial, the business phone is gonna be off the hook.
Public Yemeni number one.
What's up, guys? Mike Eshak over here. Hope you guys enjoyed watching that clip. It's been a minute since I watched that. It's taking me back. We're actually in the house. We're in my mom's house right now. We're in the house that's supposed to be Ed and Mo's grandmother's house. And then the garage that they live in is like right back there. So, yeah, that was fun. So, guys, put your hands together for the one and only Sean McGettigan. What up, Sean? What's cracking?
Hey, how you doing, man? Nice theme song.
You like it?
Yeah, yeah. Who's playing the drums? Was that Mike Bataya? Did you get him to play the drums?
Oh, you thought I made that?
No, I don't know. I'm sure you just sampled it. I was just kidding.
No, I found it. I just found it. Yeah. I tried to get my buddy in Australia who's a DJ to make it, but then like he got busy with other stuff, like, you know, family stuff.
Australia. I remember, was that like one of the same trips you met Freedom Williams of CNC Music Factory?
I didn't meet him.
Wait, you didn't? Oh, no. That guy met him.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was one of those where I was going to be in Bali, but then I ended up changing my mind and doing something else. And then he sends me a picture, and he's hanging out with Freedom Williams. And
so,
I'm like...
So you just missed out on hanging out with the one and only Freedom Williams.
Could you imagine?
I'm going to make you sweat till you bleed.
Could you imagine, bro? Could you imagine, bro? Like doing the full moon beach party with that guy? And then he's like doing all those like 80s dances. You know what I'm saying? Kicking sand in everyone's faces. I hope people can hear us. Guys, can you hear us? Can we sound all right? Try to turn it up a bit. Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay. Turn up the mics. I'm getting used to these guys.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go a little closer.
Yep, yep, yep. Is that good or no? Can you hear it? Still? There's no way.
He doesn't believe you.
Can they hear us?
You know, I don't know, man.
They say we barely hear you guys.
It's a fine line. You know, you might get somebody on there just fucking with you, telling us that we're super quiet, just so you blast it out and it ruins your podcast. And just
probably right.
Oh, that's really loud in my headphones now.
Yeah, this thing is too loud. Hold on a second. Can you even hear us a little bit? Okay, they said that's good now.
Okay.
Hercules is saying no. I'm going to kick everyone's ass, bro. Okay, he said a lot better.
Okay.
Good. Let me see here. Can you still hear us? Boom. Okay, guys. Thank you. Thank you. What the hell we were just talking about? Freedom Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
Freedom Williams.
Yeah. You know, CNC Music Factory. Most of us who came up in the 90s were very familiar with the... They've got a couple jock jams, at least. Yeah. Gonna Make You Sweat Till You Bleed, and one other song I can't remember right now.
Yeah, we were talking about how... We were talking about how I missed hanging with Freedom Williams. I had a chance to hang out with Freedom Williams in Bali.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody in the chat, shout out your favorite CNC Music Factory song. We're talking about Freedom Williams here.
Yeah. It's too bad we can't just play the shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get flagged. But good to see you, bro.
Good to see him.
Yeah, man. How is everything?
Not bad. You know, it's been, you know, a surreal year and a half or so, you know. Like everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, been just dadding it up with the 2 and the 3-year-old, you know?
Yeah, man, you've been like, you're like dad of the year, bro. Like, I'm like proud of you. And like, I'm just like, dude, this guy is like, man, like you just like, you know, when we were roommates.
Yeah.
No way would I imagine you being a father.
Bro. I mean, me neither. I mean, yeah.
Like, no way. Like, in my mind, I was like, I pray you didn't have children. This guy had children.
Come on. It wasn't like, you know.
Well, you got to understand.
There's a lot worse than you can think of is what I'm saying.
Sure, sure, sure. But I'm just saying, like, back when we were friends in our 20s, you really didn't move much. Remember?
Like, I did when I was drinking or something. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My favorite.
Or when I was, you know, whatever. Yeah. Doing.
My favorite, like memory of what it was like living with you and in the apartment was I'd wake up in the morning, this one morning, and you were sitting there on the couch in the common area playing Grand Theft Auto. And there was a guitar right next to you, and your hair was like fucking doing this thing where it was just like. And then I went to go work in Wixom. I come back. What, I work 16 hours or some shit? And you're in the exact same spot. Your hair didn't move. The guitar is still there, and you're still playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a good chance I got up a little bit. and then I came back.
I'm sure you had to take a shit, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, I remember when I came back that day, I was like, get the fuck out of here. It was like, it was perfect. For me, it was like, it brought some like normalcy to my fucking day. It was almost like you were my wife. You know, something I came home to, and I was just like, this is consistent.
A dependable personality.
Yeah, a consistent
personality.
A consistent personality. Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it, bro. Yeah. Yeah, but you, man, dude, you're like the best dad ever, man. You make me want to have kids.
It's a lot of work. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, it's great. I love the kids. They're great people, and they're only getting better, but like, it's, you know, challenging too. It's not like, you know, any given night, it's not necessarily what I would like to be doing when I'm dealing with like a screaming 2-year-old who doesn't want to get in the bath or some dumb thing like that. You know?
Right. Yeah. I can't even imagine, bro. I don't know. Is it really that much work? Do you really lose that much sleep? Is that like a real thing?
There's definitely an edge of that kind of thing, especially like the sleep stuff and the, it gets stressful, like in different ways at different times. Like, you know, some days, like it'll be like, you got 2 little tiny kids and you're just like lifting them up, put them in car seats all day, going to grocery shop, like doing all this kind of like physical stuff, but it's like, okay in other ways. And then other days it's just like emotionally draining because everybody's on and they're like, you know, sometimes in the worst fucking mood and you got to deal with everybody and try to soothe everybody and it's the worst. Or you know, like it's challenging in a lot of different ways in a lot of different times.
Fuck,
you know.
Yeah
And every day is different,
which is why I don't have kids, bro.
There's a lot of reasons not to.
Yeah I have a whole list. I made an entire list of reasons not to. I did. And I'd say it's in my stand-up. But I thought I was going to have kids with this last girl that I was with. You know? Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But then that didn't happen. And now I'm just like, I don't know if I want to be that old dad, you know?
Sure.
You know?
But whatever. I mean, it is what it is once you get started. But then, like, do you feel like you have the, like, that actual, like, urge within you psychologically to pass your genes on to
create. Do I need to, is what you're saying?
Like
you, am I one of those people like, oh, I have to leave a legacy?
You're right. Do you feel the need to leave a legacy?
I'm not a narcissist. No. If that's what the question
is. Yeah. See, that's what I was getting at. Like, it's interesting for me, yeah, thinking of you though and your personality. You're kind of aggressive and yeah, okay, you're not a narcissist, but you're into yourself a little bit.
Well, yeah.
And that kind of thing.
But I mean, I also hate myself.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know?
But you know, that's, narcissism isn't only this positive thing that people think.
Sure. Sure. Like, but I mean, I think the most poisonous. We were
talking about earlier, maybe.
who were we talking about earlier?
The guy that we went on that trip with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I called him a narcissist from the get-go. Do you remember that? We didn't even make it to Ohio, and I was like, fucking guy's a narcissist. Well,
yeah. You were using the term sociopath, I believe, at the time, which, I mean, is like, it goes hand in hand.
Was I saying sociopath?
Yeah, I think so. But and hey,
I don't know. I thought it was the same back then, you know? Sociopath is like,
I think they go hand in hand. I don't have a degree in psychology or anything like that, but
I think sociopath is,
sociopath is like basically having no capacity for empathy.
Any.
No human empathy.
Any.
Right.
So they could just like push you off a cliff, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that's fucking creepy.
And narcissist, I feel like it gets battered around. It's a very buzzword these days.
It is.
But I think it's like, you know, I read some of these articles too, because I'm interested in sometimes, like, you know, like narcissism is like, it's really more of it's a tendency than it is like, you know, you're either a narcissist or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spectrum and there's tendencies towards narcissism and stuff.
Well, when I look it up, and I mean, it's just like, it's not that big of a percentage of the population can be actually called a full-blown narcissist. I think some people just have varying degrees of narcissistic tendencies, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think like things like Instagram make it worse, you know?
Yeah. But there's all kind of different like kinds of narcissism. Like exacerbates it a bit. Yeah. Like, you know, there's, it's not all like what people think it is, I think, where, you know, like, typically you think of a narcissist as, yeah, someone who's just really like vain and into themselves. And
like Trump. When I think of a narcissist, I think Trump.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. He's definitely got a lot of narcissistic tendencies. Yeah.
He's like, you know what I mean? He's like,
although he's so weird though, too, because like, you know, still with that guy, I mean, with the position he was in and stuff, I don't know where the lines are between what he actually intends and what he doesn't sometimes. You know what I mean? There's definitely, there's like a lot, whole lot of times where he said shit where you're like, he's definitely a fucking just idiot. That guy is so dumb
from what he just
said. Yeah.
But then and then there's times where you're just kind of like, is this calculated?
Right.
Is this calculated stupidity?
There's a little calculation to it. He's definitely leaning into something here for, you know, some political maneuvering and that kind of thing.
Even like when he said, Proud Boy, stand back and stand by.
Right.
I thought that was a slip more than anything.
Sounded like it.
It didn't sound like that's what he meant to say.
He expertly sounded like he slipped it. But either way, it's like kind of the people who are calling him on it didn't really care that much if it was a slip or not. He either should have, like, you know, corrected it fully or, you know, whatever. He didn't, and he doesn't care. Like, he was just like, stand back and stand by. There we go. That's good. We'll go with that.
That's the thing, though. It's just like, you know, people say, and then they kept dropping that question on him. Like, you know, they kept dropping that question on him, that race question. What was it specifically? The one that he wouldn't answer.
Something about like
denounce white supremacy.
Do you denounce white supremacy?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then he kind of went around it, but when you actually like pay attention, it's like he's said it so many times.
There were a few times.
Apparently, where there's a
super cut where he does.
Boom! He said it, and then it's almost like his narcissism gets the best of him, and then all he had to do was like, "Oh yes, I've said it before, and I'll say it again."
Right.
Instead, he's all like, "What you motherfuckers?"
Right. Right.
It's basically what he's trying to say. He's like, "Bitch, I've already told you 55 times."
Right. He was so like psychologically like a reactionary.
Yeah.
Like in a way that like he would push back and like rebel if he thought somebody was trying to get him or something. He would be like, fuck that. You're not getting me. I'm not going to say what you want me to say just because you want me to say it. No, I'm a big boy. I'm the president. You know, that kind of shit.
Right. Got to turn the camera back on, buddy. We got to get you back on. I was trying something different with the camera and it didn't work out, but we're back on. All right. I don't know, man. I think he's a delusional narcissist. I'm just like MC.
I'm not going to argue against that. I mean, yeah, that's definitely, I feel like those are accurate terms when it comes to describing that guy, for sure, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if we go in here. If anybody's got any, keep dating them white girls, you're never going to settle down. You sound like my mom. Hercules. Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about that video I showed you. I kind of want to like know.
Oh, the guy explaining racism is a different thing from prejudice is basically what he was breaking down, right?
I think what he's saying is what he's saying in this video, and I found it on Public Enemy. That's when, and Public Enemy is kind of disappointing me a little bit, man. It's almost like they've become sort of like the second hand for the Democrats now. You would think Public Enemy would be like the ones that are like, bitch, Biden's a racist. You know what I mean? Like Biden has been fucking notoriously a piece of shit.
For sure.
Towards minorities.
Well, yeah, that's his record. But, you know, at the last election, the choice of, you know, what looked like a blatant racist at the time. I'd give it to Trump. You know what I mean?
See, that's the thing. That's
I'm not going to
argue where the two-party system Biden's gets record, us.
Though, either. Yeah, I mean, he was full of terrible moves in that way.
You know, to me, I'm just getting sick of each side only defending their man. You know, like nobody who's going to vote for Trump is going to want to sit there and be like, yeah, I voted for Trump, but yeah, here's where he's a piece of shit. Or, yeah, I voted for Trump, or I voted for Biden, but you know what? Let's face it. He sucks on this, and this. It seems like everyone's in their teams right now.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, you ever get on Twitter and look around there are more than two teams, is all I'm going to say. There are a bunch out there, and you get into like leftists on Twitter, and they are, you know, they're a bit cannibalistic, but you know that you could just be saying that they criticize each other very hard, and they are not fans of liberal establishments. There is a growing leftist trend out there that is not really into Biden or supportive of any, you know, like they're not even like lately there's even been people shitting all over AOC, you know, which
as she should be. And then did you hear that the government sent cops to this podcaster? Did you know that?
Oh, I saw that story. I didn't look that much into it, but it was a story that supposedly she had told authorities to look into a podcaster. Supposedly, I don't know. That's all I got was like the headline, though.
All I know were at the time when I looked at it about a few days ago was he did a podcast criticizing AOC's answer on how she answered the Palestinian and peace deal, or how are we going to bring peace to the Palestinians, and you know she gave word salad and just like didn't say anything.
She wasn't good on
and,
that.
And yeah. he didn't threaten her or anything. He was just very disappointed, because a lot of people are disappointed in her.
I saw a bunch more people, criticizing that and particular.
Capitol Police showed up at his house over it. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what he actually said or anything, but I don't know.
Well, we could look it up, but let's play this video real quick. I want to play this video.
Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah, with this this guy.
The guy with the whiteboard explaining the difference between racism and prejudice, basically.
And listen, I'm going to share my opinion on this and how it makes me feel and whatever. How I feel don't mean shit. I just want to know.
It means something. I validate your feelings.
Fuck feelings. I want what's like real. I want to know because
feelings
like
are real.
I'm going to knock you the fuck out.
Hey. Sorry. That's the facts.
Is this where I cry? Should I cry right now? Is this where I like internalize something?
Only if it's real.
I should have like a monologue.
I don't want to see you faking some shit right now, getting all sociopathic and doing a fake cry for me.
Let me try.
showing a real soft side to all those people you've been mean to on Facebook and winning them all back and becoming some kind of like...
Ugh. I would shoot myself. I'm getting a gun, by the way. What?
Don't you already have guns?
No.
What?
I know.
You got rid of all them?
I sold the AR-15 to Eric Aberastory. I know. Look at your face.
I mean, I know he's had guns. But like, I don't know.
Because I was moving to California,
and I know that publicly though too, saying, "Oh, I sold this AR-15 to so and so." I mean, whatever. It's a. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, whatever. It's all legal and fine, I guess.
Yeah,
and just
he'll tell you.
Sounds a little crazy, right? I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's play this. And this is, it says, watch as a white man explains why white people cannot experience racism. I don't know. When I watched this originally, I was kind of like, what? Shut the fuck up. But I don't know. So to me, here's the thing. For as long as I remember, liberals have always been, especially white liberals, have been very critical of white people, right? Like in terms of racism and like supremacy and whatnot, there's a lot of that.
I guess so. If your only comparison is to go to Republicans who just are all about white people, then I guess.
But see, why has it got to be either or? See, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying is if by liberal you mean anybody who's not a Republican. Yeah, only people who are not Republicans are critical of white people and the history of white people and colonialism, basically. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say like all Republicans are not like not critical of the history and shit. You know?
I mean, of like, you know, of like when you get into white people, like when people talk about when they're mad at white people, they're mad at the history of brutal colonialism.
And I get that.
Right.
But I do think sometimes for a lot of white liberals that I know and sometimes engage, they default to that only. It almost is like their ripcord to like explain everything away. Like it's.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of like shitty rudimentary takes made with bad, you know, people who can't explain things very well. Not that I'm, you know. Doing very well myself. At this point. I'm like tired and shit.
I mean, but, we had to start this at 10 o'clock.
Right, you know. Right, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's play this. I kind of wanted to see. Make sure. Turn this up here.
Okay. Can white people experience racism in America? First, let's understand the word racism. It ends with ism, much like capitalism, the same ism. Communism, the same ism. Socialism, the same ism. So what does that ism mean? Ism means a system put in place by those in power centered around a specific set of ideas. For example, capitalism, a system put in place by those in power centered around capitalist ideas. Communism is a system put in place by those in power centered around communist ideas. Socialism is a system put in place by those in power centered around socialist ideas. So what is racism? It's a system put in place by those in power centered around racist ideas. So then, can white people experience racism? What you're saying is when somebody says to you, cracker, honky, I don't trust white people, colonizer, white devil, that you're experiencing racism. Well, you're not. Let me explain. What you're experiencing is called prejudice. Prejudice is when someone has an idea about you based purely on the way you look. The reason that's not racism is this. The black community is incarcerated at a rate 3 times higher than white people for the same crime. Are shot by the police at a rate 3 times higher than white people. A traditional black name on a resume will receive a callback 5 times less commonly than a traditional white name. White people are not victims of racial profiling, redlining, gentrification. You see, the system targeting marginalized communities is racism. So even though a white person may experience prejudice, they'll never have to worry about being targeted by the entire system. And that's what racism is. And racism is much worse than prejudice. I hope that clears it up.
So does that mean that we are overusing the word racism? Kind of like we're overusing the word narcissism?
Definitely, I think. I mean, yeah, we're overusing it, but like, you know, people don't. Yeah, there might. We could probably call for a little more nuance right now in our language. And, you know, it gets into semantics, you know, semantics being just the interpretation of language and how different people have different interpretations of language. And you can get into total huge misunderstandings just based on that kind of thing. And words can mean one thing in one area of science and mean a totally different thing in a different area. Could be the same word and have a totally different meaning. But like, and it's a living language and it's always changing, you know, it's always evolving.
Do you think white people cannot experience racism? Do you believe that? You experienced racism ever, you think?
Well, I mean, as he explained it, no, not really.
What do you mean as he explained it?
As he explained it by
meaning
saying,
a system that was used against you.
Right. No.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean.
You don't think so?
No, it's hard for me to even think of.
How about when we went to Second City and every brown person that came to Second City got ahead of the line of improvisers.
Well, that was because there were a lot of white guys.
Okay.
And.
But isn't that sort of like a form of.
Striving to.
Isn't that sort of like diverse. A system? Isn't that a system based around race? that this fucking guy's talking about?
Yeah.
So isn't that racism?
But does that make me a victim because one like brown guy gets put ahead of me in line here and there?
No, I get that, but I'm just saying, but isn't that a system? Wouldn't that be considered racism under that definition?
Maybe, yeah.
But of course, the degree of it is not getting shot by a cop.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, do you really think it's... is it racism or is it classism? I always try to...
Is what racism or classism?
Well, like the plight of most people in this country, is it revolved around racism or is it around classism?
From how I understand it...
You know, because there's a lot of poor white people too. And yeah.
Well, it's...
They live in areas where...
It's both, is the answer.
They get harassed by the cops and...
And classism in the United States is inseparable from racism, or racism is inseparable from classism in the United States. You know, I'm not going to like pull a dumb Joe Biden and act like, oh, all black people are poor.
You have hot sauce in your purse.
Yeah. And pander or whatever, like HRC or whatever. But they're inseparable, right? Like classism and racism in this country, due to our history and the founding of this country being built by slaves that were brought here against their will, who had a particular color of skin that was different from everybody else. It's now we have large communities of their ancestors here. And, you know, a lot of those communities are poorer
because of what they've done not too long ago.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. Even though the argument with some... The argument against systemic racism usually is we removed the racism out of all of the...
But that's true, obviously.
Out of the law.
Out of the law.
So the redlining is gone. There are no actual systemic... written into the code of the law that could be enforced to screw over.
Maybe.
That's the argument is that. But when people say systemic racism, what does that mean to you? Does that mean the system itself or?
Systemic racism. Yeah. Well, but yeah, the system still, there are still obviously a lot of people working within the system trying to further racist laws and get them, there's people, look at all the gerrymandering for one thing.
I don't know it that deep.
Gerrymandering,
make sense? I know what
it's
it is.
Pretty easy to explain.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
But my point is, I don't know the details of what strategy they used at a specific time that did what to black people or did what to certain demographics or, you know what I mean? Because basically gerrymandering is just redrawing
of
districts. And then a lot of it is just finding a way to redraw it at a specific time to where you have an advantage within that given time.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Republicans
mainly
have been the ones to utilize gerrymandering to give themselves more power and give themselves more support by drawing the black communities out of their district because black people don't vote for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how I understand it.
Yeah.
That's how it started. And that's kind of, I think, pretty much.
So I'm saying I understand that part, but I'm just always like, okay, if it's there, why is it only the Republicans that are using it? How come the Democrats don't use that shit?
I think they have a little bit.
It's like every election season, God damn it, the gerrymandering. It's like, bitch, if the tool is there, why aren't you fucking using it?
I totally get that point.
It's almost like it's used against us us be like, oh, no, the gerrymandering.
And this is, and I'll agree with that. And
you know what I mean?
Well, there is like a certain...
Something smells fishy is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like we're being played.
Right. Yeah. Like
the gerrymandering thing is being used like they used to use abortion as a smokescreen. You know, back in the day, whenever the heat got on a Republican or whatever, he turned the subject to abortion.
Abortion.
And then all of a sudden now we're talking about abortion.
It's a wedge issue.
Yeah.
And it'll get everybody on his side who wants to say abortion is bad.
Exactly.
Abortion is bad. I'm over here.
Yeah. And then it takes the focus off, him doing whatever they're trying to figure out he's doing.
Right.
So to me, that gerrymandering thing, I get it. It's like, why don't the Democrats use it, man?
But yes, why don't the Democrats do that? And like, that's like a big thing these days too, is a lot of the criticism of mainstream Democrats is they're completely ineffectual. They don't fucking really try that hard to...
They don't
to play the fucking game.
They don't.
Hard. Like, to get the things done that they say.
Look at Bernie.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bernie's been kind of disappointing, man.
Yeah, a little. Sometimes, yeah.
He's disappointing lately.
Sometimes, for sure. There have been...
Like, do you know what Bernie is for me now? Hmm. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, to me, Bernie... he's the guy who gets up there, doesn't get anything done really, but makes you feel good because he yelled at Jeff Bezos. And yeah. Then like now we got a clip of him going, "You are not doing
it." I mean, there's
that's terrible. You're a billionaire and these people are hungry everywhere and Yemen.
Yeah, well,
and then we feel good. And then that's it. It's almost like he's being used to make us shut the fuck up. This is how I'm looking at everything now.
Well, that's I mean, whatever. That's in my more pessimistic times, and maybe even still today, whatever. That, you know, I always looked at as the mainstream U.S. politics. It's like professional wrestling.
Yeah,
it's all going to Vince McMahon anyway. but we get to watch, you know, the Undertaker fight Shawn Michaels. You know. And we're rooting for Shawn Michaels, the heartbreak kid, because he's just a little charming. Or you might just go full villain mode and be a Republican and go for Undertaker.
Ali Farid said, "Who's gerrymandering?" that's funny. I don't know if he's serious or not, but.
Good old Ali Farid. He's one of our biggest fan for sure of the Edmo show.
Who?
Ali Farid.
Ali MC. Farid, yeah.
Yeah.
This bozo who thinks gerrymandering is a person. Yeah. So I don't know, man. To me, I have been baffled lately with everybody losing their shit. Over nothing. Have you been noticing that recently?
I mean, yes and no.
And this is just...
It's fucking Facebook.
That's the thing. You but know, I mean, you know. But... I have groups of people from opposing sides because I spent years in the Marines. And then I did the polar opposite. I got out of the Marines and then I went straight into acting. Right. You know, and then improv, and it's like, yay! You know, I went from her to fucking thinking about taking tap dancing lessons and shit like that. You know,
did you ever?
No, but I was, you know, I was in that like I'm gonna do it. But then when I did improv, that's when I was like, I was like, fuck drama. This is so stupid. I don't want to do Peer Gynt. You know, I'd rather fucking, you know,
Peer Gynt.
It's so stupid. That was the troll king. Fucking a 4-hour play. HFCC. Yeah.
Popovich?
No, Jerry.
Jerry Zablinski?
Zablinski, yeah. He just passed away.
Oh, he did? Uh-huh. I had him. I had him in a summer class.
Yeah.
He was good. I liked him.
He was a great guy. Yeah, he was such a good acting teacher. He really cared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was always eating grains. He was a vegetarian. He was like only eating grains.
Yeah, he was totally like a skinny, like just mellow dude. Like, yeah,
he had this kinda, bad posture because he wasn't eating meat. His spine was probably decaying because he didn't have enough protein.
I have bad posture. I eat plenty of meat.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, 4-hour fucking play. Jesus Christ. And then remember Adam Peacock? He was in classes with me. And right. Me and him were the class clowns. And then he walked up to me one day. He was like, "Hey man, I'm going to take improv classes at the Second City. You want to take one with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then once I took that class, I was like, "Dude, drama is just not my thing." You know, I'd rather do jokes and on stage and make people laugh.
Yeah. You wound up doing some plays after that, but they were mostly comedic, I guess. Like,
yeah. Oh no, I still did other plays after that, but I'm just saying my focus was in comedy.
Right.
Comedy was the thing where I was like, this is where it's at, you know? But I forgot what we were just talking about. Why did I talk about that?
What you were talking about, your background as a Marine. And
yeah. And then, you know, meeting a lot of liberals. And then now my Facebook has got both people in one Facebook. So I get to see the crazies that sprout up on both sides. It's really interesting. And then I also get to see the cognitive dissonance on both sides. So I'll talk to like some of my friends that are my conservative friends. A lot of them, you know, former military. And then you know, I bat around ideas with them, and you could see they all kind of have this somewhat groupthink, and it's hard to shake them out of it. And then I see the same thing on the other side. But me being liberal, I haven't really seen it on our side until just recently. Like it like really sprouted up. Does that make sense? Like it was kind of like it brought it to the forefront.
I can kind of see what you're saying. I mean, I think it's, yeah, it partly like a product of just the way social media is now. And yeah, just the way it's. Did you watch any of those Adam Curtis documentaries? Like hypernormalization?
Mm-mm.
Hypernormalization? Hypernormalization, you need to watch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he just came out with one too that's.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all free on YouTube. They all were, at least. I'm pretty sure back in the day, my brother or I got you to watch The Century of the Self.
Oh, man. People need to watch Century of the Self. I haven't watched it in years, so I don't know if I would be more critical of it now. Because one thing I know about documentaries is a lot of the times it's just like, how can you trust the documentary? Because all they're doing, since I worked on Swamp People and I experienced how fake reality TV is. It's funny. We did the Ed and Mo show. We tried to create a fake reality show. And then when I worked on a real reality show, I realized the whole time I was doing what reality shows do. They were faking it, but making it look real. Mm-hmm. So when I watch a documentary like that, I was like, dude, how do you believe without cross-referencing? Because all they're doing is showing you footage, mm-hmm. and then they're just saying stuff underneath it.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I mean, yeah, but they're, you know, any way you cut it, you're taking someone's word for some things. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to take someone's word for some things to.
Sorry, I'm just playing it. I was just looking it up right now. Oh, this is just a trailer.
But hypernormalization is great. And the reason I brought it up is because he gets into basically the outrage economy. Is what he talks about.
Okay.
He shows all these like ominous halls of giant like server banks that they have in some, you know, whatever, like where like Facebook is or whatever. I don't know. He's talking about the economy of outrage and basically how we are being encouraged to get outraged and argue online, basically. Like, arguing online is such an insanely huge industry in and of itself at this point. Billions of dollars in it. Facebook and Twitter, like billions and billions of dollars just because people are on there looking at what one person says and going like, oh, and like arguing and then going back and forth and back and forth. That gives them so many clicks and so much activity on their site.
Outrage is a thing, man. And it's being like,
well, there's a reason for outrage, yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, that's what Facebook does. You know?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It encourages it, and it goes back and forth, and it wants you to argue because it's in Zuck's interest.
Well, it's good for clicks. Mm-hmm. It keeps us engaged. It keeps us staying on there longer. You know,
yeah.
How many times have I got like pulled into a conversation or whatever? The thing that surprised me, man, is watching a very good amount of my actor friends on Facebook. And you probably seen it. I'm not going to name any names, but losing their shit and getting mad at almost every little thing that I do or say. And to me, it's almost like that's the thing that I'm noticing from liberals the most is this. You can't say this. You can't say that type fucking mindset. And it's like, it's crazy. Cause like I went to Puerto Rico and I go there for like just a second, like a week. And then I post one picture of me and my ex-girlfriend on there. Just a picture of just hanging out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I get all this fucking shaming for traveling. I get all this, like, this fucking virtue signaling from a handful of people we know, plus a handful of comics from LA doing this whole, you should stay home. This is, you're hurting people. You don't care about old people and this, that, and the other thing. And shaming me for going on a vacation, which I'm like, whatever. But the people that I know, you know, the closest are the ones that it hurts. I'm like, really? You're going to like lose your shit because I went to Puerto Rico? Legally.
Right. Legally.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is like, I can see why they're outraged. That
why would they be outraged? Just stay home.
Because the.
It's that simple.
It's not that simple.
Sure it is.
No. No, no. You're reducing it to like, there's no reason for them to even like think about it. You know, they might not be like 100% correct. Yeah, okay, whatever. It's legal. They took whatever preventative measures on the airline.
Sure.
Whatever.
Sure.
I don't know. But from the perspective of people being outraged at you about that, they're looking at it like, I'm just like, after all this shit got established, they're seeing that it's a huge pandemic. It's causing a lot of fucking problems in the country. You know, like people can't go to work, people, all sorts of shit. People want to just get back to whatever.
Right.
We got to get through that. We got to get rid of the numbers, right? We got to have no spread.
Right.
How do you do that? Everybody's telling everybody to stay at home as much as possible, limit all contact. Then they see their friend traveling on Facebook. Yeah, it might be legal. There's a lot of things that are illegal that are a little fucking or worse than that, honestly. But
the fuck, man, we do so many illegal things every day. But anyways,
that's not about it being illegal.
I get it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why get mad? Why get mad? Why get mad that someone else is willing to take a vacation?
Because
why get mad?
The reason
if you're scared, just stay home.
It's not about it's not about them just being scared for themselves. Mm-hmm. They see you as a bouncing around vector, jumping around the country, mm-hmm. possibly spreading it to another person, just keeping the numbers active.
Okay.
I understand why they might resent that.
Okay. Have we not seen the majority of people survive this?
Sure, but it's also been established that it's bad enough that we've been taking a lot of extraordinary measures.
Sure, and we've taken a lot of deaths.
Yeah, a lot of deaths. For sure. Like, I've known some people.
Right. So, it's my fault? It's my fault or anybody's fault for being outside?
Maybe partially, if you have all the information that it's a highly contagious disease and that really the only thing that you can be sure to do to not spread it to anyone is to confine yourself to yourself,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, partially, whatever.
Which is actually the worst thing to do because then people's vitamin D levels decrease. They're not outside. The majority of people that are dying from this thing are not getting enough sunlight.
You can go in your backyard like I do.
But most people won't do that. They won't do that. They're told to stay inside.
You can go for a walk.
A lot of people were told to stay inside. They listen to the government, and the government doesn't really fucking know shit, you know?
It hasn't been perfect.
You know, but stay inside. Like, they didn't even go out of their way to, like, inform us.
But the idea is to try, you know.
Try what?
To try to curb it as a collective.
Yeah, but it wasn't working. Even when we were staying inside. What's funny is that California...
How did China beat it?
California, well, you know, they probably shot people. Look what they were doing to the Uyghurs. They probably all rounded them up and just assassinated them.
Well, they were somewhat authoritarian about it.
You know, they probably.
But they enacted very strict curfews.
But we're going to believe China? We're going to believe their numbers? Like, we know that they're fucking full of fakery. They love the fake numbers.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
China, bro.
How about the USA, bro?
Yeah.
Florida, but Texas, bro.
Their numbers are pretty low.
I don't trust them any, their numbers.
I was just there,
any
bro.
Better than China.
I was just there. They act like COVID doesn't even fucking exist.
Yeah.
And doesn't seem like their fucking shit's falling apart.
I mean, I've seen some of that here too.
It doesn't seem like a lot of people are fucking like the majority of people I met, like in Oklahoma, they all already got it. They're all like, yeah, we already got it. Almost everyone I talked to, yeah, I just got it. It passed.
But they had some deaths too.
Sure. That's going to happen. It's going to fucking happen, man. That's the thing. Stopping the economy, telling people to stay inside, not telling people to be healthy. That's the fucking thing that really pissed me off. That when I ended up like posting a link to a bunch of like vitamins that I researched that I found off from like Dr. Gordon. He has this like amazing site. And then when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, he listed all of the supplements that they said that would give you the most absorption of zinc and vitamin D, right? Like mixing zinc with quercetin, which was fucking like amazing to hear. And then when you look into it, it's actually true. And then you post that to tell people, hey guys, this is something that you probably should take into consideration, especially if you're staying inside all day and not getting enough vitamin D. Take a pill or two of this, some quercetin and zinc. And then later on, I'll have one of my friends like post something later on and be like, virtue signaling about staying inside, and that's the best thing to do. Not like these some idiots that think that vitamins are going to protect them. And I'm just like, oh my God, are you fucking serious?
Well, there's
the thing is like, not the vitamins are not only going to protect you, but you can't say that it's not going to fortify your defense system.
Your personal defense systems, yes.
Yeah.
But there are other people. And it's a collective issue. And yeah, what they're virtue signaling about is, yeah, staying inside because that will decrease the numbers and confine the virus and, you know.
But it hasn't.
I'm not sure, like, honestly.
Especially in California,
but,
man.
But
like, they locked everything down in L.A.
But you're just, shit just but keeps do you spiking. Realize that you're simply virtue signaling for the other side? I mean, it's the same shit, just the other side. You're saying, no, you need to get outside and have vitamins. That's virtue.
That's not virtue signaling for the other side. Yeah. That's actually pointing out actual data. This is real.
They say their shit is real too. I'm not sure, honestly.
You're not helping anybody if you're someone who's not taking care of yourself. You're not helping anybody. If you're not eating healthy and if you're not hydrating, if you're not working out and actually like upping your cardio, getting enough sunlight throughout the day, you are not helping anybody because you are more susceptible to contracting it than someone who's taking care of themselves.
If you're really unhealthy and you have a weak immune system.
Why is it that I don't understand the mindset of like having to stop everything because you can't take care of yourself. Majority of people are not taking care of themselves. So now I got to stop everything. Everyone's got to shut everything down because a lot of people are undisciplined.
There are weak and vulnerable and people not, who are not necessarily just undisciplined.
Some of them are too poor.
Very some of them are elderly. Exactly. Some of them have disabilities.
Exactly. Those people should be inside. And we should be like, here's another thing. This is like another greater problem that highlights something that we don't want to talk about. And that's like food deserts, like areas, like in impoverished areas where they don't have healthy food options because they can't afford it. And there's no other way to get these people the nutrients that they need. A lot of these people don't have enough money. Some people have too many fucking kids, man, that they have to buy pizzas every day. I know people like this. I know a guy who has 10 kids.
A lot of people eat like shit every day.
All they're eating is like pizzas, man. And I feel bad for the guy because it's like he had 4 kids and then now he's with a woman that has like 4 kids. And then it's just like, okay, I get it. You got a lot of kids and shit. But man, that
he's going to have an empire of his own, a legion of his own that he has built on hot and readies.
Bro, this guy, I feel bad. He's not even 35. He had a heart attack.
Oof.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, he's African-American and he's not eating healthy. And then, like, we find out that the reason why a lot of African-Americans are dying is because they're not absorbing vitamin D as much from the sun. So a lot of African-Americans, especially those that live in places like Detroit, where the sun doesn't come out as much, they're the ones that need vitamin D the most. That's what the data shows. Because a lot of them are vitamin D deficient, because even if they stayed out in the sun as long as you, they wouldn't be able to absorb as much. I'm out in the sun all the time. I get my vitamin D checked every fucking year, twice a year. I have to take 2 5,000 IUs because I have to figure that out through my blood work. One wasn't doing it. And I'm out in the sun all the fucking time. So the thing is like, it just pisses me off that the government convinces us all you need to do is stay inside. And then there's all this other shit. Like, I mean, why do we have a health czar if he's not fucking telling us to take the proper nutrition? If you're going to be inside, you should be telling your people, please take vitamin D. Maybe even fucking administer to us. Like, babe, we don't take that type of shit seriously in this country.
I'm sure we could use some work nutritionally, obviously, I think. But to say it's the government, you know, I mean, maybe now, I don't know, but the government was a fucking mess when this all started. Do you remember who was our leader and what he was saying about these things and the mixed up messaging he was giving?
For sure. He was a fucking cluster fucking half. But that's to think that is like only a fucking Republican issue. Trump exacerbated it because he just said the dumbest fucking shit, like inject bleach up your fucking dick or whatever. Like, listen.
It was bad. I mean, it was like whatever he.
But right now, even in this administration, when has Dr. Fauci told us to take a vitamin? When has Dr. Fauci told us anything that was actually fucking true? He lied to us about the fucking masks because he wanted to keep a shortage down. Why lie to us? Why not just fucking tell us, you motherfucker?
I agree with some of that. Like, but
here's the thing. Like, imagine how many people died from that information. Right? When early on he was like, no, you don't need to wear a mask. And he said that only specifically because he knew it was going to be a shortage for people who were working in hospitals.
Right. I've heard that might be true. I'm not sure if
it is true. He did say that.
But
I remember that.
It was something like that. But I saw something with him recently talking about that. And I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate as to his explanation actually was to because of a shortage or whatever. I think it might have
actually. It is. I've looked it up. I mean, we can even pull it up right now. There's like so many times it's been brought up.
But whatever. Yeah. The video I'm thinking of right now is something where I saw him talking, and yeah, it was looking kind of like he's a little bit he's waffling a little bit.
Controlled, bro. He's controlled, man.
Controlled by who?
By so much. The politics, the slip up, don't say this, don't say that. If you say this, you're a Republican. If you say this, you know what I mean?
It's not as much as like now you're a Republican.
But you know what I mean, though. I mean,
he's trying to.
There's a lot of politics involved in how he has to frame what he's saying. And it's just so imbued in that shit. And then to me, here's the thing. What's sad is this. A lot of people look up to the government, Sean. They do.
Yeah.
A lot of people look up to the government.
Well, sure. I mean, a lot of people don't have much else.
And they're not giving us the information.
That's what they're there for.
They're not giving us the information. They're not going to listen to individuals like me. Like if Biden was to go out there or the health czar like Fauci and be like, guys, please, these are nutrients that you're definitely going to need. The science is even showing that these nutrients will help you defend yourself from contracting this stuff.
I believe in vitamins and everything, but
and healthy eating.
But I don't think, like, do you think they're doing it on purpose, not telling people to take vitamins or something?
I think there's a politics involved in it. I think talking about vitamins from a politician has never really been done before. And I think that it's
like
almost...
Fauci was working for Trump and he was trying, I feel like, to do his best. I'm not sure. And I don't think he's like perfect by any means.
No.
But I think he was trying to do his best to steer the public in the right direction under Trump.
Listen, I felt bad for him under Trump You could tell he was stressed the fuck out.
Looked tough.
Oh yeah, he was basically working for a king, you know,
like a mad king,
like a mad fucking king. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, dude, that was not lost on me.
Yeah,
trust me. But my point is this: it's kind of like when you go to a fucking hospital, right? Go to a fucking hospital. Go to the cafeteria, hospital, place of health. All these fucking shit options to fucking eat. All this crap food, processed carbs. There's barely any fucking fruit.
Well, I'll stand up for Beaumont, Birmingham. They got a Papa Joe's grocery store down there. I spent a lot of time there because I had a few kids. And there was a couple kids over the past 4 years.
Shout out to that place.
And Beaumont, Birmingham, or not Birmingham, Royal Oak. Beaumont, Royal Oak.
But do you think that's the majority of hospitals?
Probably not. No. Notoriously, hospitals have had
bad businesses.
Food.
They're businesses. They're all about saving money, you know?
And there's the like one of the biggest problems, you know, of it, I think. Yeah.
Like they gave my mom, when my mom's in the hospital, for like to eat like the fruit that's like in the high fructose corn syrup.
The shittiest canned cocktail, fruit cocktail.
That type of shit. Like to me, it's like, all right, I get it's delicious, but don't you fucking know? That's like the worst. And then like I'm in a hospital and then this is being served as one of the.
I agree. And I do feel like that could be a vastly improved in this country is our approach to food in general.
I think the system is
health.
The system is based around drugs mostly, bro. So talking about vitamins will keep the fucking, I think that's what it is. I think the lobbyists really control these motherfuckers. They can't talk about vitamins, man. They can't.
I don't know. I mean,
come on, Fauci, get out there and fucking say vitamin D, bitch.
Only the real rebels like Alex Jones out there, they'll sell you the good stuff that'll keep you strong for the rest of your life.
Stay away from aspartame. Aspartame was created by Rumsfeld.
With this podcast, are you going to start selling supplements? Are you going to start selling vitamins?
I probably not. I probably should make my own supplements.
Right now, you're doing a great plug for vitamins already. So you might as well.
I love them, bro.
You love vitamins.
I love them.
Go out there and formulate the Eshak multivitamin for men, and I'll start taking it.
You're bullshit.
I mean, I will take it if you do.
Do you take any vitamins?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know like you and your family are pretty healthy. Your mom is like, you know, pretty healthy.
I usually take a men's multivitamin. Sometimes I fall off of it here and there when my bottle runs out or whatever. Or
you
I
get
just
the bricks
for a little while.
From GNC?
I bounce around. I've gotten the chewables from Trader Joe's. I've gotten I've got these ones with testosterone support right now.
Where are you getting them from, Trader Joe's?
No, that was an online thing.
Okay, from where?
It was some vitamin weird website. I don't know.
Some fucking
vitamin
Russian.
Weird.com.
Some Russian just gave you sugar pills, bro. You've been taking sugar pills the whole time.
Maybe. I don't know. Hey, they made my pee really bright and fluorescent. So that to me means it's working.
It's not true, bro.
I don't fucking know.
I've been taking Thorn brand.
Thorn vitamins?
Yeah, T-H-O-R-N-E I've been doing. For the multivitamin, I've been doing this 2 day. It's like a two a day? Is it?
A lot of them are two a day.
No, 2 pills a day. That's just, you take it once. But I split them. I do one in the morning, whatever. But anyways, it's real good. And not only that, it's not in a brick. It's like pulverized in capsules for quick absorption, you know? Because you got to see some of those videos, man. Some guys like will put like water in like acid or whatever to simulate like the stomach, then they put these brick pills from like GNC and then they won't even fucking dissolve.
Yeah.
You know, bro?
I guess, but like I said, they make my piss so bright. They got to dissolve to some degree.
Oh, so that's all I need to do to sell a supplement. Basically just put a bunch of powder in there, but then put turmeric or whatever.
Turmeric's great for you.
It's great for you. Or not even that. I'll just put like dye so that when you piss, it's like, oh man, it's working. But then I didn't sell you shit.
Yeah, make it like special. Like, oh, I got that Eshak green piss. Yeah. I'm so healthy.
Yeah. The, still got 10 people. All right. I like to talk about dating and shit, bro. Or like relationships, whatever. Because I do like to talk politics, but then I also like to talk fucking. Thinking about getting a gun, bro.
Okay.
Thinking about getting a gun.
Yeah, you've had guns in the past. Why is it? Why is?
I only had one rifle. That was
just
it.
One?
That was it, bro. It's so funny. Everyone thinks that I because I was a Marine, I would have guns. I just never really cared about guns, to be honest.
You just only had that one AR-15.
That was it.
Oh, okay.
That was it. Never had a gun, man. I'm so liberal in that sense. You know what I mean? I just don't really give a shit about guns that much. But then recently, you know, I can see, you know, a glimpse of how everything could fall apart. And there's a lot of, like, people that are not fully equipped to handle anything falling apart. And those are the moments where you're going to wish you had a gun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it turns into, like, Walking Dead, like, where, you know, you got warring tribes of marauding nomads. Yeah, it could get pretty bad.
Also, it would be nice to have it, too, because let's say a bear is coming at you. Just blow your brains out. I'd rather do that than get mauled by a bear.
You try to kill the bear, right? You just won't do it, so you just give up.
Bro.
How far away is the bear? How big is the bear?
Okay, if the bear, I think the grizzly is the one that's like the fucking most.
The Kodiak, I think, maybe Kodiak? Specifically, I think might be the biggest grizzly that lives in Alaska.
Fastest motherfucking, like, it's scary. Almost, you can just launch bullets at it and it probably won't do anything.
Yeah.
So if that was coming at me.
A really big gun if you want to do that.
I would have, if I had my P365 XL with the Holosun sight.
I don't even know.
It's a gun that I'm getting. It's a really small, compact 9mm. But it also holds 12 rounds, and it has a sight on it. It's okay. Fucking, it's...
Like a holographic?
Yeah, holographic sight. Okay, so that's all I have, fucking 9mm.
Yeah, I guess I could see your point on that.
I'm gonna throw 11 rounds downrange. Count that shit. 12, 11, try, 10, right, yeah. 9, 8, 7.
And if he's still coming, 3, he's almost 2, on you. I get it. I'm not gonna judge you.
He's probably gonna eat me.
Look at Leo DiCaprio, man. He pulled it off. In The Revenant.
You said yeah. That's not based on a true story.
I didn't think it was. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I would fucking.
I actually saw on the news just a day or two ago, a woman was mauled to death by a black bear.
Oh no!
In Colorado.
There's video.
No, it was just a news story. I don't go around watching those kinds of videos.
Me neither.
But also, a black bear was hit and killed on 75 right by Flint.
What?
The other day, too, yeah. That was crazy.
Well, this is in Colorado today.
The Colorado was the story of somebody who just got killed by a black bear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, fuck this shit. Yeah. Bitch. Dude, I have the ad blocker, and then the shit, like, they're getting smart with the ad blockers now. Dude, I would fucking hate getting mauled by a fucking bear, bro.
Yeah. Doesn't sound
to the index now in the fiery rescue off the coast of Cape Cod. New video released by the Coast Guard shows flames and smoke shooting out of the 100-foot fishing.
Bitch, shut the fuck up. I don't care.
The five members.
Forget her. Yeah. So, how's marriage, bro?
It's great.
Is it?
Let's go back to bears.
Okay, let's go back to bears. Well, that ends that segment. Oh fuck, dude. I do want to put this number up, but look, yeah, guys, send your text messages. Sleeping with the Yemeni hotline. There's the number on the screen. 313-246-3727.
Oh, can people call in?
They probably, I don't know. I don't think they can call in, but they can definitely send me a text and I can get it. Or just send a message on here if anybody got any dating questions. Relationship questions, anything like that.
That's what you're getting into. You're getting into, you want to be a relationship guru?
No, man. I like, no, I, for me, I want to learn from how other people like approach certain things because I think I'm terrible at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Not that I'm a guru, no.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the opposite.
The opposite. Yeah. The opposite. I'm trying to like piecemeal good.
Right. You're trying to pull wisdom out of the crowdsource some wisdom, relationship wisdom.
There you go. You know, maybe somebody could inspire me in a better way. No, not trying to be no fucking relationship. I'm opposite. It's like I'm fucking, you know, I'm always in the same fucking relationship. I always end up like dating the same type of girl. And, you know, another part of it is just like, now I got to figure out what am I doing wrong? Come on, motherfuckers. How did Ed and Mo meet? That's a pretty good question. Has nothing to do with dating, but why, we might want to talk about that.
Like within the show, like in the canon of Ed and Mo.
Yeah, so it started with...
It was explained in the show. I don't remember, honestly, myself at this point.
No, I think what they mean is like... They're probably like asking...
Or how did the real people meet?
Okay, I mean, we could go to that, but that's like a little...
Well, I mean, I met you at Second City. You met Bulldog. I don't remember where.
Yeah, this is the... Yeah, so it all started with this video. So we did this video, Cribs Arab American Style, which was really fun to do. It was one of the first Arab American viral sketch videos. You know? Yeah, so we just did this video. But before this video, we met at Second City. We did improv class together.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever actually in your class.
No, we were in class, but we were taking classes in the Second City.
Right, at the same time.
We were in different classes. You guys were ahead of me.
Yeah.
But we first met, I first met you guys. I was already in level A, and I was one of the kids in the class that was really ballsy. I wanted to go up and start doing improv as soon as possible. And then they would have the jam. Was it Monday nights or something like that?
I don't think it was Monday. It was
Tuesday nights or some shit. I forget. But anyways, they would have this jam where they would just, at the end of the show, they would open it up to the audience and the audience can come up on stage and play improv games.
Right. Because the Planet Ant was Monday nights. And
it was, that's right.
So they did that. I don't think they did that at the same time.
Well, whatever night it was, there was the jam. So you'd go there and then you would try to perform improv, even if it's your first time. And I went up there and I think the first time I went up, I remember I got a hilarious laugh. We were playing that game, Questions, remember? Where you have to always say a question. Mm-hmm. Everything you say has to be a question. And then a lot of the times you can trick the other person into answering your question. And if they don't say a question, instead of they answer it, they lose.
Yeah.
And then another person comes in.
Right, when you do the lineup like that, yeah.
And the game is to be the longest one on stage, to always be consistent with only asking a question.
Yeah.
And then I remember the biggest laugh that I got, and I remember, because I was very new at this, I learned from this. The biggest laugh that I got was, we already established, me and the other guy, that we were both washing cars with sponges, right? So this is what we're doing. We're just doing this and we're asking each other questions, right? So a new guy comes, I'm like beating all these guys. A new guy comes, and he asks me a question, and the question that I ask, I go, do you really, and I was playing an Arab guy, I was like, do you really think we can actually wash these cars by rubbing them with our fingertips? And because everyone thought it was a sponge, now I established we don't have sponges.
Right.
Fucking the laugh was so huge, and I remember, wow, the misdirection.
How simple it is.
In improv, the misdirection, you can misdirect what people assume you're holding.
Right.
And it was just such a simple thing, but it was one of the biggest lessons I got.
Right.
And then that night also, or maybe like another night, I ended up doing an improv scene with you and your brother. who was one of the writers of the show, the Ed and Mo show. And that was just, that was when we met. We did that scene. We had a fun scene. Seth was also in the scene. And then after we were done, you guys were like, "Are you? Where are you from?" And I'm like, "I'm from Dearborn." They're like, "Yeah, we're from Dearborn too." And I was like, "No shit." And then you're like, "Come to the town pump. We're gonna grab some drinks." And then we hung out there. And then I found out you guys grew up 8 blocks away from me.
Yeah, like right in the same neighborhood. Yeah.
Never really hung out.
Yeah.
I had your brother at a math class once.
You were in the same grade as Brendan, who was in between me and Mike.
I think, no, Brendan was a freshman when I was a sophomore. I think I'm a year older than him.
Okay. So you were in between.
But I was so dumb that I got held back on math. So then the next year I had to go back on my math class and he was in that class. Mr. Hebert? No, I didn't have Mr. Hebert. I don't know if I never had Mr. Hebert. I don't know. He looked like a pedophile.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hebert was disgusting.
I think you guys used to say.
Well, there was a whole dark mythology built around a fictional dark mythology built around that guy. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I think we should let it go at that point. It's,
dude, there's like more people watching.
He was a real person.
We got 14 people watching right now. I wonder if anybody has any dating questions. People still talking about how was it like doing Ed and Mo show with Ollie? Oh, it was fucking terrible. No, it was great. Like Ollie is hilarious. He's so hilarious. No, my only gripe with Ollie is he never took like the art seriously in terms of like doing it 100%. You know what I mean? Like he was really good in the moment of doing it, but he had no follow through. Like he didn't want to like pursue acting. Like you were always acting. You're always right on stage. You're always doing sketches. You're doing improv every weekend almost, or every Monday at least.
For long periods.
I mean, like, you know, you're an actor. I just wish that he took it. That's all. Because he would have been like, I think he would have blew up. He still can blow up.
I remember when we started the Ed and Mo show and how we tried different systems when we started. I mean, it was like different, totally different show. I mean, because we were just figuring out how we were going to approach it as far as the level of improvisation versus scripts. And
remember, I wanted to make sure that you guys kind of knew what you were doing and that you would end up answering all of our questions. Like, I think me and Mike wanted to get you and him so in your characters that it would just get to a point where we didn't even have to tell you shit. We would just be like, all right, this is what we're doing. The scene's going here, here, and it ends here. And then we just shoot.
Yeah. It was a weird process, I think, because, you know, like, yeah, for the, it's guerrilla nature of how we were doing it. Like, it was weirdly, yeah, somewhat method in some ways, just like you were saying that, like, you were basically expecting me to just hang around as Ed all the time anyway. So then I was basically just kind of like, oh, I have to just be this guy all the fucking time. It became weird a little bit. But, and yeah. And then Bulldog too. Yeah, like, you know, like when do you fall in and out of the character? And then at any moment, you know, there was like even that, then that slight military angle coming out of you too, like as a director being like, you know, like just shouting orders. Like when you finally got your shit together, you'd be like, Sean, glasses off. You got to do the blah, blah. You got to talk about this. Okay. He's really upset about this. You got to talk about that. Make sure you get that out. Okay. Important line. Then you'd like go off at Bulldog, you know, like Bulldog, seriously, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, like say this, good at like that. You know,
it's because we didn't have much time,
right,
man? We had so much to do. So
yeah,
you know, and I was short staffed. The only real help I had was your brother, Brendan, as another cameraman, you know. Other than that, for the most part, it was like we would once in a while get other people to come help
different
us.
Different shoots, I remember different people coming in. And,
well, certain shoots, I needed more people, and then I would actually get them to come. Right. But oh, here. So I'm on the screen showing you guys running from Tariq Salamasi. And Tariq Salamasi is a real estate agent, and he just showed me a bunch of cars the other day. I mean, houses the other day, houses, and he's got the newer version of that truck.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same color, but it's just a new.